So some years earlier than that, I first met Buddhism because my Thai teacher, I decided to take a gap year, that's what it's called now, between graduate school and going to work in Geneva, Switzerland. And so I went to Thailand, and I had no idea why I picked Thailand. It was just easy to get a job there, I guess. So I got a job in Chiang Mai, and my teacher had said, okay, if you want to know Thailand, you need to know Buddhism. So I picked up some books in the bookstore, and I got to read Ajahn Buddhadasa, who wrote in a very clear books. And being a scientist, I found that everything, you know, was fine. It agreed with what I knew. And there was, you know, it was a lot of great wisdom to be had there. And I was reading those books. And then I got a book by Ajahn Chah, and the last or second to last chapter said, just start doing it, something like that. Just do it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to meditate. But I can't sit cross-legged very well, so I wasn't really into it. And then I got this article from a friend, and he'd done a retreat at Wat Rangpung in Chiang Mai, and it had him pictured doing walking meditation. I'm like, I'm going to do that. That's really cool. I can do walking. So I did. I went there for 5 days. They wanted me to stay for 40 days, but I stayed for 5 days. And there was bowing and then sitting and walking. It was really intense. But I got really, really calm, and I really liked the routine. But then it was time to go to Switzerland, and I thought, okay, I'm leaving Thailand. I'm going to Switzerland. There just must be absolutely no Buddhists anywhere near Geneva, Switzerland, which I thought for a while. But then I got sent this book, and inside the cover was the name of a monastery in England, Chithurst Monastery. So I wrote to them saying, is there any Buddhist monastery or any Buddhist in Switzerland? And they go, yeah, there is a branch monastery, Dhammapala, just a train ride away. And that just like here, the monks would come once a month or twice a month, I think. So that's how I got into this lineage. My first teacher was Ajahn Tiradamo. But then I wanted to go back to the U.S. And in the back of our newsletter, there was like all the places that you can go in this tradition, all the monasteries, and 10 Arbor Street. So in the back of this Swiss newsletter, I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go back to San Francisco. So I went on a job search, and it was Thanksgiving. It was probably the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday night. I went to 10 Arbor Street, and there were like three of us. I was Debbie, and I don't know who else was there, probably Mark, and maybe Catherine and Stephanie. And that was the little group. We did mindfulness of listening to Mark's breathing, which was a really good practice. We listened to cassette tapes of you know, monks. But then Ajahn Amaro came really soon thereafter. It was 1993. And just like with Susan, maybe it took a few more visits before you got invited to the Sangapala board at that time. So I was on the board, and Ajahn Kurunadamo came from Seattle to visit the first board meeting I had. But what I found is that there were some people with incredible kindness and faith, like Debbie and Mark, who had the vision and wisdom to believe in this project of starting a monastery, which had its starts and stops and so on. And so I went there every Wednesday and enjoyed the visits by Ajahn Amaro, who was certainly very energetic. His talks at the time were very literary. They came with many quotations from a notebook.